This is Ellie Fisher for the OU's Nachyomi program. Nehemia Perek Ches. Payasvu kol ha'am ki ish echad el harachov asher lefnei shar hamayim. The entire people, the entire nation gathered as one to the square in front of the water gate, right? This is the Jewish water gate. And they said to Ezra, the scribe, to bring the Torah of Moshe, Shetziva Hashem et Israel, that Hashem commanded to Israel. Okay, now, in order to understand what's going on here, let's take a look at the last pasuk of the previous chapter. Right, the previous chapter was one of those laundry. Was one of those phone book chapters, right? One of those long chapters with lots of names, and it concludes by saying Vayishua Kohanim HaLevim. It lists all the people that came back to Eretz Yehuda with the original Shivat Zion in the time of Zerubbabel. It says that they went back to their, all the different people went back to their cities, and then the seventh month arrived, and everybody was in their cities. Right, so which is exactly what we had seen at the end of Perek Bet of Ezra. Right, and then immediately after that, it goes to our chapter where everybody gets together in the seventh month. Right, so even though at some point we jump 80 years, right? It's talking about Zerubbabel, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's talking about Ezra and Nehemiah. The earlier Perek was talking about, the earlier Perek, meaning Ezra Perek, Perek Bet, was talking about something that happened in the distant past, so there are a couple of things that could be going on here. There could be some intentional ambiguity. The last pasuk of the last Perek, where everybody's in their cities and they get together in the seventh month, that could be talking about what happened 80 years ago, or it could be talking about what's happening now. And it's ambiguous, right? Because it's the same pasuk as we'd seen previously, but it clearly leads into this gathering which happens in the seventh month 80 years later. So it could be drawing attention to the, trying to connect those two gatherings, right? Either to compare them or to contrast them, and we'll see there's major differences between them. It could be to emphasize, the fact that they're still Ba'arei Hem, although we had said that Ezra and Nehemiah are starting to change that a little bit. We're going to see later that Nehemiah implements a human tax so that people, 10% of the population lives in Yerushalayim. Okay. So the people ask Ezra to read the Torah. If you recall, the walls were completed on the 25th day of Elul, right? So even though there's no time stamp on this pasuk, right, it doesn't say exactly when this took place, it would seem to make sense that this is happening a week after the walls were completed. The walls are completed, and then you have, the beginning of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, and everybody shows up there, everybody gets together there. We have Ezra HaKohen, Et HaTorah Lefnei HaKahal, Me'ish Va'Adisha. Ezra, the Kohen, brought the Torah in front of the congregation, men and women, v'chol meivin lishma b'yom echad l'chodesh ha-shvi'i. Right, and anybody that could hear, right, men, women, anybody that could understand, that could hear and understand on one day, l'chodesh ha-shvi'i, v'yom echad l'chodesh ha-shvi'i, on the first day of the seventh month, right, on Rosh Hashanah. V'yikravo lifnei harachov, and he read from it in the square, asher lifnei shar ha-mayim, in front of the water gate, min ha'or va'ad machatzit hayom, from daybreak until midday, until noon. Neged anashim v'nashim v'hamivinim, right? In the presence of the men and the women, v'hamivinim, the mivinim are the teachers, right? So I apologize. In the previous pasuk, there are translations that would say v'chol mevin, anybody that understands. It seems that it's... we're going to go with the translation that it's the teachers, right? They were, there were people that were listening and interpreting. But all the people were listening to the Torah. This is, these mivinim, these teachers, you have two things going on. On one hand, you have a real drama here, right? It's talking about, you know, we're going to see in the explanation over the scene that's presented in the next few psukim, right? There's a real drama with Ezra reading the Torah, that the people are encountering the Word of God directly. You know, and this is part of what gives Ezra that reputation as the lawgiver, second only to Moshe Rabbeinu, that he's recreating an experience of the giving of the Torah. At the same time, it's clear that the people who are listening to the Torah don't really understand what they're hearing, right? So you have to have a, you know, these mivinim, right? These people that help the people understand, which is similar to the later institution that became institutionalized of the miturgaman, the person whose job it was after the Kriyat Torah to make sure that people understood it. Rav Kook has an interesting discussion of this relationship between the Kore and the Miturgeman, right? He relates that to two aspects of Talmud Torah, right? On one hand, there's when we study the Torah, there's an experiential aspect, right? The aspect, or religious aspect, the aspect that we're encountering the Word of God, that we're hearing the Word of God, you know, that it's an act of religious devotion, or an act of of clinging to, you know, to God by listening to His Word. At the same time, there's an intellectual, a cognitive element of Torah study that we you know, when we understand it, that just by experiencing it, is insufficient. We have to understand as well. Rav Kook has a long essay in his Ein Hayah, it's in the beginning of the seventh parak of Masechet Brachot, where he talks about the relationship between the academic and the experiential aspects of Torah study, about how the two always have to remain in balance, how they have to, there's a danger of Torah study being too academic and too intellectual without having any kind of devotional aspect. And at the same time, if it's only a devotional aspect and there's no intellectual element, then then it suffers as well. So you have both elements here already. You know, when we're first introduced to public Torah study, both of those elements are present. You have the drama of the whole people listening to the Word of God, and at the same time, you have people that are there to make sure that you have these teachers to make sure that the people actually understand. Vayamod Ezra hasofer al migdala etz asher asu ladavar. And Ezra stood on a wooden pulpit, a wooden tower that they made for this purpose. Vayamod etzlo, and standing next to him were Matitya v'Shama v'Aniya v'Uriah v'Chilkia u'Maasiya al yamino. Those six were on his left. Umismolo, and on his left, Fidaya Mishael, Malkiyav Hisham, Bechashbadana, Zachariah Mishulam. Those seven people, right? So there were, it seems, a total of 14 people, unless, you know, some of these people had double names. It seems that there were 14 people standing up there, which is presumably some kind of symbolic number. Veiftach Ezra Hasefer Leinei Kol Ha'am. Right? And Ezra opened up the sefer in front of all the people, right? And this is we discussed before that there's a certain radicalness of Ezra's making the Torah public property, of giving everybody access. So everybody is seeing the Torah. Kimei al kol ha'am haya, because he was above all the people, so he was raised up so all the people could see it. Ukefitcho amdu kol ha'am. And as he opened the Torah, everybody stood up. Vayevarech Ezra et Hashem Elokim Agadol, and Ezra blessed Hashem, the great God. Vayanu kol ha'am amen amen. Everybody answered amen. This is a birkat haTorah. B'moal yedehem, while raising their hands. Vayikdu vayishtachavu, and they bowed and they prostrated laHashem to Hashem apayim arza, with their faces to the ground, right, a kneeling bow. V'Yeshua uvani usherevya Yamin, Akuv, Shabtai, Hodiah, Maasiya, Klita, Azariah, Yozavar, Hanan, Pulaya, Vahalvim, Mivinim et ha'am laTorah, Vahaam, Alamda. Right, so these people were teaching the people the Torah, causing them to understand, and the people stood in their place. Right, so you had, again, you know, both of the elements. You had the you have the drama, and then you also have the understanding. And they read from the book of the Torah of God explicitly, right, distinctly, and they gave sense, right? They made it make sense. And the people understood what was written in the Torah. Right? So this is, we take this for granted, but this was radical. Either Ezra instituted or reinstituted public Torah reading when it hadn't been practiced for many, many years. One of Ezra's great contributions. Vayomer Nehemiah. And Nehemiah said, Huash Tirshata, he was the governor. Ve'ezra ha-kohen ha-sofer, v'halviyim ha-mevinim et ha-am l'chol ha-am, hayom kadosh hu l'Hashem Elokeichem. So Ezra and Nehemiah and the Leviim, who were teaching the people, told the people a big chiddush, right? Something that the people, it seems, did not know. Hayom kadosh hu l'Hashem Elokeichem. Today is Yontif. Al titablu, don't grieve. Ve'al tibchu, and don't cry. Kivochim kolam kishamam et divrei Torah. Divrei Torah, because the people were all crying when they heard the words of the Torah. Let's continue the section before discussing it, because it's a problematic section. Ve'omer lahem, he said to them, L'chu, ichlu mashmanim ushtu mamtakim, v'shilchu manot le'ein nachon lo. Go, eat fatty foods, drink sweet drinks, send portions to those who have nothing prepared. Ki kadosh hayom la'adoneinu, because today is holy for our God. Don't be sad. Because the God's joy is your strength. And the Leviim, they quieted the people down. Lomar, lemor, hasu. Quiet. Kayom kadosh. Today is a holy day. Don't be sad. Everybody went to eat and drink, v'lishalach manot, and to send portions, v'la'asot simcha gedolah, and to make a great joy. Ki hivinu hadvarim, because they understood the things asher hodi lahem that they were told. Okay. So some would say that Rosh Hashanah up until this point was some kind of fast day, right, and that the people were fasting on Rosh Hashanah because, you know, that's how they had observed Rosh Hashanah, and that, you know, will relate to various minhagim that you have elsewhere. And there were minhagim at various times to actually fast on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a strange day that, on one hand, it's one of the yamim noraim. It's a day of awe. It's a very solemn day. And on the other hand, it's a day that it is celebratory. We do eat and drink, etc. So there is one direction that you can take this, that it's, they were overemphasizing the solemn aspect of the day. They were crying. They were grieving. And Ezra and Nehemiah said, no, it's a happy day. It's a holiday. Celebrate. Right? So that's one possibility. It seems, though, by saying that Hayom Kadosh Hayom LaHashem, that they didn't know that it was a holiday. They didn't know. So if that's the case, why were they crying? Maybe they were crying because they heard some part of the Torah that was particularly disturbing, maybe one of the Tochachas. Alternatively, it's possible that they were celebrating Tzom Gedalia on that day. That was, it was Gedalia's yard site. And it had been instituted as a fast day. The Navi Zechariah alludes to Tzom HaShvi'i, right, the fast day of the seventh month, right, which is Tzom Gedalia. And Gedalia is actually a machloket. When exactly was Gedalia killed? Was he killed on Rosh Hashanah, or was he killed as we observe it on the day after Rosh Hashanah? Which would mean that he was killed either on the first or the second of Tishrei. He definitely wasn't killed on the third, because they wouldn't have been celebrating at this point. It's hard to know. Maybe the first, the second, the third, who knows. So it could be that they were observing Tzom Gedalia, in which case they didn't know anything about Rosh Hashanah. And I guess the question would become, well, why would they have known about Rosh Hashanah? That sounds like a radical question. Of course, they know about Rosh Hashanah. What, you know, Jews know about Rosh Hashanah more than they know about, you know, Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot. But that's not necessarily the case. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the holidays more or less revolved around the Beis HaMikdash, and Rosh Hashanah is one of those is one of the two holidays, along with Yom Kippur, that there is no pilgrimage, right? There's no it's not a regel, right? It's not a there was no mitzvah for the average Jew to make a pilgrimage to Yerushalayim or to the Mishkan for Rosh Hashanah, right? There wasn't even a mitzvah to make a pilgrimage to Uman for Rosh Hashanah at that time. It seems that it may have been, right? If you have people that are, on one hand, generally ignorant, and on the other hand, hadn't experienced Rosh Hashanah in the Mikdash before, wouldn't have necessarily known about the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. And they had to be educated and taught that there is such a holiday. Interestingly, Rosh Hashanah is one of the holidays that you don't really have mention of. It's mentioned in the Torah, but it's not recorded. No observance of Rosh Hashanah is recorded elsewhere in Tanakh, except for here. Right? You have that on, you know, you have other times that Pesach is observed. You have other times that Sukkot is observed. Not Rosh Hashanah. The issue here of Mishloach Manot is not Mishloach Manot like Purim Mishloach Manot. The issue here is, you know, send food to the people that, you know, don't have anything prepared. If you're, you know, you go to Shul on the morning of Rosh Hashanah and find out, hey, today's a holiday, you know, some people didn't have food prepared for the holiday. So they were enjoined that the people that had prepared should send food to those who hadn't prepared. Now continuing, right, and this next section is going to reinforce the same idea of like what did the people know, right? That the people were not necessarily so well informed about Judaism and about Torah and mitzvot, right? That they were hearing the Torah for the first time. Vayom Hashini, the second day, Nesfu Roshei Avot L'chol Am HaKohanim HaLeviim El Ezra HaSofer L'Haskil El Divrei HaTorah. Right. The next day, the second day of the month, right, all of the heads of the families of all the people and the Kohanim and Levim gathered to Ezra, right, in order to haskil adivrei Torah, in order to, you know, give attention to the words of the Torah. So now it's only the heads of the family. It's not everybody anymore, but you know they want to learn more. Vayimtzu'u katuv baTorah, and they found it written in the Torah. So now, when you say you found it written in the Torah, right? It's a very strange thing to say, right? You say, oh, I found it written in the Torah that it says that you should wear tzitzis, that you should wear you don't find things that are in the Torah. The whole thing is read every year. You know, when do you say, if you take a look at, let's say, the Rishonim, right? Sometimes when a Rishon quotes a Gemara, right? They'll say, you know, and it says in the Gemara, right? In Perek, whatever. When they quote something that's a little bit more obscure, they'll say umatzati, right? I found a Tosefta. I found a tshuva from the Geonim. I found a Yerushalmi, right? So depending on what the standard Jewish bookshelf looks like, right? Is it, yeah, this everybody knows, but this, yeah, check this out. This is something that I found, right? So here they found written in the Torah. What did they find? Right? They found it written that during the holiday, during the pilgrimage, right? Remember, a chag specifically in the Torah refers to a pilgrimage festival, right? It's related to the Arabic word hajj, right? Which means pilgrimage. That during that festival, they should sit in booths, in sukkahs. Wow. That's amazing. that on Sukkos, we're supposed to sit in Sukkos. Asher yashmiru vayaviu kol b'chol areihem, right? And then they made it known, and they passed the word in all their cities, v'Yerushalayim lemor. They pass it out in Yerushalayim, saying, tzu hahar, go out to the mountains of Haviu, and gather ale zayit, olive leaves, v'ale etz shemen, and the branches of a wild olive tree, va'ale hadas, and hadas leaves, va'ale tamarim, and tamar leaves, palm leaves, va'ale etzavot, and the leaves of a thick tree, la'sot, sukot, kakatuv, in order to make booths, sukkahs, as it is written. So first of all, here the people are not given instruction from Ezra and from Nehemiah and from the Mivinim, right? Which is going to be a crucial point, because if you take a look at what's going on here, right? They read the Torah. The Torah says we're supposed to live in booths, and then they run and they start to gather everything together. Now, the part of the Torah that they found here, right, is from Parshat Emor. It's in Vayikra, Perek Chaf Gimel, and if you take a look at the Perek, you'll see an interesting thing. Starting from Pasuk Lamed Tet, Perek of Vayikra Perek Lamed Gimel, it says Ach b'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh hashvi'i. Now, what you need to do is pretend that you've never heard this before, and you've never heard of this before, and you don't know anything. And all you're doing is hearing this for the first time. So on the 15th day of the 7th month, ba'aspechem et tvuat ha'aretz, as you gather the grain of the land, tachogu et chag Hashem shivat yamim. You celebrate a pilgrimage to God for 7 days. Ba'yom ha'rishon shabbaton v'yom ha'shmi'ini shabbaton. The first and 8th day are solemn rest. U'lekachtem lachem b'yom ha'rishon priet hadar kapot tmarim anaf etz avot va'arvei nachal. On the first day, you take for yourself the fruit of a beautiful tree and palm fronds, and the branch of the thick tree and the willow of the brook, and you shall rejoice before God 7 days. V'chogotem oto chag l'Hashem shivat yamim. Bashana, 7 days a year, you celebrate this. Chukat olam udorotechem. It's an everlasting statute. B'chodesh shvi'i tochogu oto. You celebrate it in the 7th month. B'chut basukot teshvu shivat yamim. And you sit in the sukkah for 7 days. Kol ezrach v'Yisrael yeshvu basukot. Every citizen, every native of Israel shall sit in a sukkah, l'man yedu dorotechem, so that your generations know, ki vasukot oshavti et bnei Yisrael behotzeti otam eretz Mitzrayim, ani Hashem Elokeichem, that I sat them, that they lived in Sukkot when I took them out of Egypt, I am Hashem. Okay, you're hearing that for the first time. And the question that arises is, how many mitzvahs did you just hear about? Did you just hear about one mitzvah, or did you just hear about two mitzvahs? Right? You're not asking the Rebbe. You're not asking about, you know, what tradition exists. You hear the psukim. How many mitzvahs is it talking about? Right? When it says to take those four things, is it talking about a separate mitzvah? The answer is, it's really unclear. It's really unclear looking at that, looking at those psukim that were actually, you know, for us, it's very simple. You have sukkah is one mitzvah, and arba minim is a separate mitzvah, right? But a pure, unadulterated look at the text, if you had never seen the text before, it's really unclear. So that's what seems to be going on here. And furthermore, right, and that would answer the question that's bothered many people of, you know, the minim, the actual species that they brought, right? So if you look at the correspondence between our Dalad Minim and the, you know, and what they were collecting in the hills, right, there is some correspondence, but not a lot, right? You have Ale Zayit and Ale Etz Shemen, right? Those are two different things in the olive family, but they seem to correspond to Pri Etz Hadar, right? And then Ale Hadas, you have Ale Hadas, and then Ale Tmarim. Ale Tmarim are obviously the lulav. And then you have Alei Etzavot, right? Alei Etzavot, you know, in the way that we understand the Psukim in Vayikra, Anaf Eitz Avot is a reference to Hadas. But here you have both Alei Hadas and Alei Eitz Avot, right? Which seems to indicate that there's two different entities, two different species that are related to the Hadas. So you have five species here. Two of them correspond to our Dalad Minim. There seems to be one missing, right? Arvei Nachal are missing. And the whole thing seems kind of strange. Now they were taking these to make sukkahs. The way that I understand this is that you're talking about a group of people who didn't have any kind of mesorah. They didn't have any kind of memory, right? They're coming back now. They're getting excited about the Torah, and they're doing exactly what it says to do in the book, right? They're very, very bookish. They're trying to reconstruct a tradition out of what they're reading in the book. So continuing, Vayetzu ha'am, the people went out, Vayaviu, and they brought these things, they collected these things, Vayasu lahem sukot, ishal gago v'chatzrotehem, and they made sukkahs, each person on their roof and in their yard, v'chatzrot beit ha'lokim, and in the courtyards of God's house, of the temple, uvrechov shar hamayim, and in the square in front of the shar hamayim, the water gate, uvrechov shar Ephraim, and in the plaza, the square in front of the shar Ephraim, which was the gate that led out to the north, a northern exit of Yerushalayim towards the area of Ephraim. V'yasu kol ha'kahal ha'shavim in ha'shivi sukkot, and all of the entire community that returned from captivity made Sukkot, Vayeshvu ba'Sukkot, and they sat in Sukkot. And here's the kicker, the one that really reinforces this idea that up until now they really had no idea what they were supposed to be doing. Ki lo asu mimei Yeshua ben Nun kol b'nei Yisrael, Kain b'nei Yisrael, because b'nei Yisrael had not done that since the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Right? They had not done that. They dwelt in Sukkot, and they hadn't done that since the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, ad hayomahu, until that day. Matehi simcha gedola ma'od, and there was a great simcha. Now it doesn't mean that they didn't celebrate Sukkot since the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. That's clearly not, because there are other places in Tanakh where it talks about how they celebrated Sukkot in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, for example. Right? They had celebrated Sukkot, but living in Sukkot, building Sukkot, and living in them says here that they hadn't done that since the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. Vayikra b'sefer Torah ta'elokim, and they read from the book of the Torah of God, yom b'yom min ha'yom rishon v'ad yom acharon, every day from the first day to the last day, v'yasu chag shivat yamim, and they made a 7-day holiday, uv'yom hashmini, and on the 8th day, atzeret, was an assembly, kamishpat, as was the law. We will continue with the next parak, Parak Tet, tomorrow.